It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 17, as we continue to move quickly through this book and yet still pick up some of the precious, precious gems that we have in this book. So please open to Numbers chapter 17. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope now that was enough time for you to open your Bible and prepare for the study. As we begin, we're going to read Numbers chapter 17. The last study we had, we were back in Numbers chapter 14, and there is so much between the 14th and the 17th chapter. But we're going to come up here and look at how God takes care of choosing his leaders and makes no mistake of what we're doing. And so please just listen very carefully. Numbers chapter 17. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and take of every one of them a rod according to the house of their fathers, of all their princes according to the house of their fathers, 12 rods. Write thou every man's name up on his rod, and thou shalt write Aaron's name upon the rod of Levi, for one rod shall be of for the head of the house of their fathers. Thou shalt lay them up in the tabernacle of the congregation before the testimony, where I will meet with you. It shall come to pass that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom and will make to cease from me the murmurings of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and every one of their princes gave him a rod apiece, for each prince one, according to their father's houses, even 12 rods, and the rod of Aaron was among their rods. And Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness. And it came to pass that on the morrow Moses went into the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi was budded, and brought forth buds, and bloomed blossoms, and yielded almonds. Moses brought out all the rods from before the Lord unto all the children of Israel, and they looked and took every man his rod. And the Lord said unto Moses, bring Aaron's rod again before the testimony, to be kept for a token against the rebels, and thou shalt quite take away their murmurings from me, that they die not. And Moses did so, as the Lord commanded him, so did he. And the children of Israel spake unto Moses, saying, behold, we die, we perish, we all perish. Whosoever cometh anything near unto the tabernacle of the Lord shall die, for shall we be consumed with dying. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you today that we can have this opportunity to come and to enjoy this time. Please that you will just guide and lead us through this, your precious word, your living word today, as you always do, and we thank you and praise you. So please, dear Father, I just ask for your strength. I ask for direction. I ask for your wisdom. And I ask that you will open every ear and every mind and every heart today, that they will hear your words and make the proper decision for salvation, first of all, and then for service as well, dear Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look at this Numbers chapter 17, then we're going to go on to Numbers chapter 20 as we look at the rock again, because they're murmuring once again. I wanted to stop by here just a little bit because there was much murmuring, as always. You know, please that we be a patient people and we listen and we follow the Word of God, and yet we find that so often there is just constant murmuring, and it's kind of a gentle roar in the background. You know, a few years ago when the flood waters of the old Mississippi were so high, not so much as, you know, we never know from one year to the next when the old Mississippi is going to bring up her rage. She does it from time to time, depending on the rains up north and the snow and the melt and all those things. But a few years ago, why, there was a time that coming across the dam that we have here, the water was rushing through that in such a fashion that it literally just brought a roar. It wasn't the fall. It was just a low, real low sound, and it was kind of a horrifying sound. It was a sound of power as that roared across there, as that water with such a force moved through that dam, and all the gates of the dam were open because it just couldn't contain the volumes of water that was coming. There was no way it could be held back, and so it just they let the gates all open, and here came the rush of that water, and that water would bring trees and buildings and who knows what in its that had gotten in its path and bring it right up to the edge of that dam and just crush it through that dam. It would have such a force. But with that force was this sound. And I've never forgotten that sound that came with that rushing mighty water as it come through that dam. The murmuring that we have here and many times in our churches today is just as damaging and does just as much or more constructed destruction than what that Mississippi did when it came with such a force back in 1993. And when it came with that force, you know, we've had floods since then, but nothing in comparison with that year. It started up north and it went all the way to St. Louis. Didn't stop one bit from one spot to the other with all its force and its destruction. But that sound of power and of force, and it was an eerie sound. Well, that's the same kind of destructive sound that comes when a church member and a believer especially would begin to murmur about what the preacher's doing, murmur about what the people in the church are doing, or murmur about what this committee's doing, or this committee, or this group, or this family, or that family. Any time that murmur comes, it comes as a result that you've lost your peace. You got a problem with somebody, you go to that person and you have that conversation with them. You don't go to your neighbor or your friend or the person you sit next to in church or the person you go have dinner with after church. You go to that person and you talk to them. This murmuring is a destructive force that multiplies many times more than what that almighty Mississippi did a few years ago. And so please, stop your murmuring. He says, well, I need to stop this that's going on. Well, there's ways. There's scriptural ways to doing it. And murmuring is not part of it. And murmuring is, another word for murmuring is gossip. And so please stop your, I'm not gossiping, I'm telling the truth. No, but you're not telling it to the right person, so that turns it into gossip. And so I just ask you that you be aware of that. And if you're involved in it right now, and maybe somebody's kind of got you involved in it, stop it. And maybe you don't need to take it to somebody. Maybe you just need to put it to prayer. Take it to your God. Take it to God, not to somebody else. You know, we would rather speak to somebody else and see how that's handled then. So I just ask that you be careful about that for the good of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel and the presentation of the gospel and the saving grace and God's knowledge and power and His goodness. Please don't destroy that with your murmuring, because we'll find through here that out of all the evil things that this nation of Israel has found themselves doing, it's God's chosen, beloved people. And yet the very worst thing is that they're constantly murmuring. Well, to say all that here in the 17th chapter, they did the same thing again. And they're going to do it again and again. We do it. We've never gained. We've never learned. We've never come from that place. But here it was concerning some leadership, and Moses and Aaron and Miriam were very, very close. We're going to find the 20th chapter that Miriam dies. But we're going to find here that it's very, very close relationship between these three, which Moses, you know, this is his brother and his sister. Well, they've kind of come along as the self-appointed leaders, so to speak. Well, God's about to take care of that concerning Aaron. And here we find that he is going to take from each tribe, 12 tribes, he's going to take each one, and he's going to take, and on this staff, on this stick, this rod, he's going to carve the name of each family. Reuben, Ephraim, Dan, Levi, all the way down. Every staff, the leader of that family, which, you know, the original leader's gone because those leaders, some of them anyway, were sent into the promised land and came back with an evil report. And so 10 of the 12 of those, of some of the good leaders, are dead already because of murmuring and not trusting in the Lord. Well, we're back to another situation here, and we are finding, picking this a leader, and they don't realize, but they're choosing the high priest. What God's way of doing it is, come up, each one of you bring your staff, each one of you carve your name, and then you give me those staffs. He took those staffs, he took them into the tabernacle, as the scripture tells us here, and the next morning then he came back out and he said, it shall come to pass, in verse 5, that the man's rod, whom I shall choose, shall blossom and make to cease from me the murmuring of the children of Israel, whereby they murmur against you. And so it's each one had their own. And so Moses laid up the rods before the Lord in the tabernacle of the witness. It came to pass on the morrow, we're at verse 8 now of chapter 17 of Numbers. And it came, went up to the tabernacle of witness, and behold, the rod of Aaron for the house of Levi, it was budded, it brought forth buds, and bloomed, blossoms, and yielded almonds. A dead stick that had been just that for who knows how long, God is able to bring life through it. And it's the same way with you and me. He can bring life through you and me when he chooses to. And he chooses to offer us life, but he does not force life upon us. And so you need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. And please do it. Please do it today. Don't tarry one more day. Don't stand on your baptism. Don't stand on your morals. Don't stand on your church membership. Don't stand on your family name. Stand on the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way you can do that is if you ask him into your heart to forgive you of your sins and ask him to come in and to live and to save you. And he will. His grace is sufficient to save you. Well, we find here that the proof is taken care of now. And then on top of it, God says, okay, this isn't going to just be thrown away. Let's put this in the Ark of the Covenant. And so that's where it is placed. And so, you know, we have the mercy seat and the Ark of the Covenants and the Holy of Holies. Not only the Ten Commandments, but now we have the budded staff, and of course we know that the manna was placed in there as well. And so God has chosen, and what a wonderful way. There was no question. Now, are they going to continue to murmur and wonder? Probably. But God has himself, is not Aaron, has Moses has made a statement about his brother Aaron. It's that God has decided and chosen it, and when he brought it out, can you imagine what that dead old stick looked like? And here's the name of Reuben and Simeon and Gad and Asher and Naphtali and all these sticks, and they come out just like they went in, except for the one that had Levi written on it, which stood for Aaron. And instead of that, here came that staff, and that staff not only budded, but bloomed blossoms and yielded almonds overnight. overnight. God is a miracle worker, and He shows us His power and His strength, and He brings life into whatever He chooses to. And you praise the Lord that He has chosen you. And please ask Him into your heart so you can have the advantage of that life. Please, that you trust Him today. And so that's a beautiful picture there in that 17th chapter. And now I would like to move on to the 20th chapter. And I really don't like, we're going to miss a study in the 19th chapter that I love. But I want to move on because I want to get to Joshua. And so we're just kind of taking a very quick survey of this book of Numbers as we move through. And now we're to Numbers chapter 20. And we're looking now again at Miriam's death, as I spoke earlier. And then also as the trip continues now, as we move forwards through this time, and we are moving through many years here. And so from the time that the trip started here at the very beginning of Numbers, when we started that, you will find that date in Numbers was about 1490, and here why we're at 1471, and if you just go to the last part of the chapter 20 there, we're to 1453, and if you'll recognize the difference there in the years so quickly, we're coming up with that 38 years, aren't we? And so please, as it progresses, I think we're at 35 or something like that, if I would do the math here. Let me do it very quickly. And so we're at 1490, and then in the 20th chapter here, and 21, why we've dropped to 1453. And so that gives us 37 years, my friend. We're moving right along here, and so we're going to find ourselves into the book of Joshua. But we have a lot of things to continue through Numbers here. Now, again, back to chapter 20, but I want you to see that from the time we've started this, why we have passed through about 37 of those years now. And that came the children of Israel. I'm at chapter 20, verse 1. Even the whole congregation, the desert of Zin, in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chod with Moses and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord! And why have ye brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore have ye made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is no place of seed, or of figs, or of vines, or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink." And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly into the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation, and there be strength." And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, "Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" And Moses lifted up his hands, and with the rod he smote the rock twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, "Because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which ye have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Oh, what a sad day for Moses. What a sad, sad day. You know, when God said way back, when he started this journey, when they rebelled and, you know, the spies went in and came back with the evil report, and he said, there's only two over the age of 20 can go in. You ever wonder what Moses was wondering about? Because Caleb and Joshua were the only two that listed. And I'm sure Moses wondered why he wasn't going to be able to, although, I mean, Moses here is up to 120 years old. I mean, at the end of this journey, that's how old he is. 40 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness of Midian, and then back here now leading the people out of Egypt onto the Promised Land. And so that makes him in the range of 120 years old. And so, you know, maybe he just believed he just wasn't going to live that long to see these people through this full journey. I don't know. But God knew that Moses was going to be disobedient. Now, why was he disobedient? What caused him to not be able to go into the Promised Land? It was something that was more important than you can imagine. And you might, you know, did you catch it here, what Moses did? Did you catch what happened? Once again, the people are murmuring. They are the most murmuring people. Well, again, we sure aren't any different, are we? We murmur and murmur and murmur and question and gossip, and we do so much of that, so much complaining, instead of being, you know, positive and trusting our God and say, oh, Lord, you know, things look bad right now, but I don't care because I know, dear Lord, you're going to take care of me. I just know you are because you always do. I trust you, Lord. Oh, instead of that, these people, they just, instead of getting on their knees and says, Lord, we need water. We need water for ourselves, and we know that you're going to deliver it. We don't know how, but please that you would bring it. Instead of that, they come once again murmuring against Aaron and Moses. And so they, you know, each time why they said, you know, why didn't you just let us die with the others? Oh, these people. It's no question that God continually said to Moses, let me just kill them. Let me just do away with these people, and I'm going to take you, Moses, and I'm going to make you my seed. I'll just start over again with you. But Moses, he had such a love for these people, and had a love for God, because he didn't want God to be denounced in any way. And so he says, what would the people say, the other people say, if you do away with these people? They'd say, God, you weren't strong enough, and I know you are. And so please deliver this people where you said you were going to, and then God would continue his way. But they are the most murmuring people. Let's see what happened here. Okay, they don't have any, they're really disgusted with this place to bring us into this evil place. Remember, they're wandering in the wilderness, and they have seen all the glory of Egypt, of the Canaan, of the Promised Land. They've seen all that, you know, and they remember what they had back in Egypt. Well, this wilderness has got nothing to do with that. They're eating this manna each day, which is the most perfect food. Their clothes aren't wearing out. They're not, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful time that they could have. And the sad thing is that they're even disobedient, wandering around this wilderness. And I say it's a wonderful time. Well, it was a very trying time and difficult time, but God was supplying all their needs. And, you know, when we know God's supplying our needs, that's not a bad time. So God's supplying all the needs here, but that's not enough. They don't have water right now, and they says, you know, our cattle's going to die, we're going to die, and why didn't you just let us die with the others? You know, why didn't you just let us do that? And remember, we've talked about how many are dying here on a daily basis because anywhere from 20 years old and up is not going to enter the Promised Land, and we're getting to the end of that time. So what's happened here is the adults have taught the children to murmur, because most of these adults are dead. Most of the people that made the decision to follow the 10 spies are already dead. And yet, we find that the murmuring continues. Well, we sure catch on faster to murmuring and laziness and lack of service and not coming to the Lord for salvation. We kind of catch on to all those things much faster than we do to be in service to the Lord and trusting Him for our salvation, listening to Him. All right, here's the words. He said, I want you, Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. See, that's where they met with God. And so they went to, in chapter 20, verse 6, they fell upon their faces. The glory of the Lord appeared unto them. What a wonderful day for Aaron and for Moses. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now, did you catch that? Speak unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. What did Moses do wrong? He didn't listen, did he? He didn't listen. It's such a small thing. Such a small thing. I mean, he told him to take the staff, and he told him to speak to the rock, and it would bring forth water. Well, what's the difference if he went over and he struck it twice? It's because back in Exodus chapter 17... And time right now is not going to allow us to go back there, but we will next time we get together. We will start right there with Exodus 17. But in closing of today's study, God said back in Exodus 17 to smite the rock. And so Moses did. He smote the rock and water came forth. Now God changed his ways because now we're all the way to Numbers. Some 37 years later, and, you know, here he's coming, and he says, speak to the rock, and water will come forth. Well, in this very short time we have left, let me tell you what happened. Why God held Moses from going into the promised land. Not because he had murdered an Egyptian some 37 years before, not because of that. I'm sorry, been more than that. It would have been almost 100 years before, because he did that when he left Egypt. It wasn't that he was a murderer that he couldn't go into the promised land to get the blessings of God. It was because of something that was so serious, and that was this act right here. God said the first time, strike the rock. The second time he said, speak to the rock. You see, Jesus Christ went to the cross once. Once. He was struck once. He was crucified once. And that paid it all right there. Never did he have to be crucified again. Never did he or will he ever be struck again. But Moses missed that. Could be in his anger, could be in his rage of the people murmuring constantly. He said, all right, I'll do it again. And he struck the rock without thought. But God held him responsible. And he says, because of that, Moses, because the picture was so great that now you can speak to me because of the cross, because of what's taken place. But now, Moses, you have taken away a most beautiful picture that I wanted for these people to see, that now you don't have to strike the rock being the Lord Jesus. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians, Psalms in two different places, 1 Peter and another place in 1 Corinthians, after we read Exodus chapter 17. We'll begin there next time we come together, Exodus chapter 17, and look up those cross-references in the New Testament. Please, my dear friend, wonderful time to come to study the Word of God. My dear friend, What are you going to do about Jesus?